Product leaders can benchmark their team's performance against their desired outcomes, but how do you benchmark your team against the best performing product teams? I mean, what is the evidence that reveals that your team is actually great at their craft and positioned to succeed? In this episode of Fearless Product Leadership, I asked 5 seasoned product leaders to answer the question, how do you know if your product org is actually great? Welcome to the Fearless Product Leadership Podcast. This is the show for new product leaders seeking to increase their confidence and competence. In every episode, I ask experienced and thoughtful product leaders to share their strategies and tactics that have helped them tackle a tough responsibility of the product leader role. I love helping emerging product leaders shorten their learning curves to expedite their professional success with great products, teams, and stakeholder relationships. I'm your host and CEO of Fearless Product, Hope Curion. CEOs and new product leaders often lack the experience to gauge how effective or high-performing their product orgs are. Sometimes they want to have their teams assessed, and while I can see skills or knowledge deficiencies, only a leader living with the team every day and observing their actions, relationships, and results can really assess how well their team is performing. As a leader of multiple product teams in your org, you may find you have different teams at different points on the greatness spectrum. So how do you find the evidence to assess the overall greatness of your product org? In this episode, you'll hear a clear pattern of the characteristics of great product orgs from the leaders who've led them. They'll tell you that they interact with customers regularly, they have high trust within the product teams and great relationships with stakeholders, they deeply care about and understand the why behind their work, they have a bias for action, and they embrace objectively measuring the impact of their work. Fearlessly tackling the question, how do you know if your product org is truly great, are Nicole Brolin, Chief Product Officer at Seek, Nate Walkingshaw, Chief Experience Officer at Pluralsight, Sean Murphy, former VP of Product at Target and former VP of Product and Engineering at Custom Inc., Amanda Richardson, former VP of Product at Hotel Tonight and Prezi, Al Ming, VP of Product and Design at CNBC. Nicole Brolin, Chief Product Officer at Seek, kicks us off with the 3 pieces of evidence she looks for to reveal how healthy her product organization is: consistently challenging the why, regular customer interaction, and connecting product behavior to business success metrics.
So the question is irrefutable evidence of having a great product org. I've got a kind of a few answers to this and have actually kind of watched our product org evolve over time. I think one is about the culture that you witness within the product org. And for me, that is around, do you have people who are agitating for change? Do you have people that are challenging the status quo and are asking questions about, you know, but why are we doing this? I don't think we're approaching this the right way. Because I think to have a successful product org, you need to have product leaders and product managers that are really not just being told what to do, they're really challenging, you know, the underlying business reasons for why we're doing what we're doing. And so as a leader, sometimes you sit there and go, this is driving me crazy because every day you're coming up and challenging everything, but I think that's a sign of a fantastic product org. I think the second piece for me is around customer contact. And so a fantastic product org is one where you see visible evidence of the product teams interacting with customers regularly. So you can hear the regular insights, you can see in presentations how the insights have translated into, therefore, what they're building. And I think that's a really telling sign of a fantastic product org. And then I think that the third element is having product org that's really connected to the business metrics that they're trying to move. So I think having a product org that, you know, when prompted, can actually tell you why they're doing something and how that connects to the outcome and the business behavior, that the customer behavior that they're trying to shift. I think when you see all of those things in place, for me, that starts to point that you've actually got a pretty healthy product organization.
Next, Nate Walkingshaw shares the 2 key attributes of a great product org. First, it behaves a lot like a close-knit family. And second, the individuals in it each have a clear, measurable sense for how their work impacts customers.
Yeah, you know, if I were to describe to you like irrefutable evidence of a great product or healthy product organization, you know, it probably sits across a series of different attributes to me. I'm going to use the word culture, but this is not culture theater. Like, this is real, authentic human interaction and relationship building, I think, is irrefutable evidence. And the way that it looks to me is that when you watch a healthy product organization, the description I want to use is they act a lot like my family behaves when the doors are closed, is that there isn't fear, there isn't shame, there isn't guilt, there's challenging of ideas. When somebody has an opinion, they're not afraid to actually share exactly the way that they think and see the world, and know that they're not going to get judged by the way that they share their thoughts and ideas. And the way that it looks to me is like there isn't judgment from the teams. Like, you know, you allow the person the space, you know, to be who they are. That to me is a really genuine and authentic way that I think human beings should, you know, should live and work together. You know, I've been really committed to try and foster that culture at Pluralsight. It's very hard. It's very hard to do. It's very emotionally draining to do. But the fact is that I have like an insane group of leaders that philosophically believe the same approach. And so, you know, you would have to believe that like this will make it to the end of the row of every single employee here. Every single employee, when they drive into work, knows why they matter. They know what work they do, and they can see the impact of that work. And then when they do deliver, you know, the impact of that work, they can feel a sense of purpose and meaning in it. And that's kind of the second indicator of culture to me, is that, you know, people have a very clear idea of what they do every single day and how it applies to, you know, the customers that we're trying to solve these problems for. If I were to go like on the like quant side, you know, the holy grail metric for me, and it'll sit there forever, is retention. You know, it's I have three metrics. I've led to three metrics my whole career, which is likelihood to buy, length of stay, and NPS. It's pretty simple. When you and I walk into a store and we buy a product off the shelf, did I like what I paid for that product? When I used it, did I feel surprised and delighted and did do the job that I intended it to do? And, you know, would I go back and repurchase that item again based off the happiness curve that it gave me? They're really like, you don't need to get scientific around it. Like, that's it. Like, it's three metrics. You know, you could segment it out and do cohort analysis and do retention curve analysis. Yes, we do all those things. And we are obsessed with doing those things. But, you know, the goal is likelihood to buy, length of stay, NPS.
Next, Sean Murphy describes what evidence he looks for to ensure that his product org is in fact great. And that's a team that has a bias for action, will take multiple swings at an important problem, and encourages counterthinking.
So Hope, it's such a good question. You know, what are the signs of a great product organization? And I think there's no one size fits all. We've all seen different teams work together in different ways that are productive. But here are some of the things that I look for. So one is more doing and less philosophy. If there's anything I've noticed from product organization, there's a lot of navel gazing going on. There's a lot of philosophy in the way to do things right and the way to do things wrong. And basically what you need to do is the product teams need to just try and do some things and then periodically pause and reflect to say, hey, is this working? Are we going in the right direction? What would we change? Don't need to get more complicated than that. Two is another thing that I love to see is when teams are lunching together. When you spontaneously seeing teams, the product, the design, the engineering, the operations, whatever, coming together for lunch and breaking bread together, I know good things are coming. Another practice I really like to see is when teams have set aside time to take two or three or four swings of the bat at a problem. Organizations that are just on to the next thing all the time, the business pressures are there to do that, to just deliver. But a healthy organization has the respect and the command with their peers and their partners that they can take two or three attempts at things. And the last thing I really love to see is counterthinking, where a team has a confidence and the trust in each other, where they can propose going 180 degrees from the existing plan is and to try something else. And the whole team is willing to explore that thoughtfully. So those are some things that I look for and signs of really successful product teams.
Amanda Richardson reveals her three telltale signs of a great product org. One, it has strategic importance to the CEO. Two, it conducts regular user testing. And three, the engineering team can tell you what matters to customers and why.
I think there's some very simple, clear signs around what makes a great, that what whether an organization is great, product organization is great. And by the way, I think there are different flavors of great product organizations depending on what you need and where your company is, but these are great product organizations that I would want to work with. Number one, product reports to the CEO. I do think that's critically important. That shows that the CEO cares about what the product is. It cares about how the strategy is coming to life. Number two, there's regular user testing, some sort of process, some sort of way in which hopefully multiple teams, but certainly the product managers and the designers are working with users on a regular basis. That could be a beta testing program. That could be a usertesting.com account that they use often. That could be regular trips to Starbucks to find users and do some ad hoc testing. Whatever it is, surveys don't count. Regular ways to do user testing, I think, is a second criteria. And then the third criteria that's really important to me is that you have an engineering team that understands the product. So this is where you can go up to engineers and ask them how features work. You can go up to engineers and ask them why features work and how users would use it. If the engineers are just punching out code and they don't really understand why or why it matters, or they're not invested in the problem that's being solved, I think the product team will never be successful. So must report to the CEO, must talk to users, and must have engineers that care about the product.
Next, Seth Rowe reflects that the greatest product orgs he's worked with have three attributes: high trust, inclusion of diverse perspectives, and a real purpose behind their work.
The way I think about irrefutable evidence of a great product org basically revolves around feeling connected and belonging to a team who has your back. You know, every great team, every great organization, every great family, there's always key elements to it. The first one for me is trust, right? I ultimately have to be building authentic relationships with folks who, when we have tough times or tough conversations, we know we're in it for each other, and it's built on loyalty and trust. So that's the biggest thing. The other thing I love about our team and why I feel like it's a great product org is the inclusiveness and diversity. You know, if you told me 20 years ago that I'd be standing around a table with different ages, different genders, different countries, ethnicities, different political points of view, whatever it is, like, to me, the diversity is ultimately the thing that always leads to us making choices that I believe in the most. And whenever I feel like our teams lack that diversity, is when I kind of see them tripping over themselves a little bit. So that's always a very important part. And then, you know, what I ultimately feel like as part of that team is the most influential ideas, the most meaningful ideas, and the most successful ideas I've honestly seen in our org have always come from the bottom up. You know, it's very hard not to be top down in a outcome-driven organization. And I think that's something that we talk about in the product councils a lot and just with product colleagues over beers. But, you know, it's always about growing our team's skills. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we can lead them in the right direction and we end up achieving the things that we're trying to achieve, that ultimately is a successful product org. I will say that the only other thing I would add to that is we try to give our teams a real purpose. And so, you know, I work for a brand. I'm very fortunate to work for a brand that's truly delivering a product that's built on incredible science and information to everyone in the world. It's anyone can access it. It's available for everyone at any time of day. And although a lot of people just look at it in America as like basic weather information that's very much a commodity, that's simply not the case everywhere else in the world. And it's very, very, very important to these folks. And it's very important for the people that are ultimately funding our mission in America to know that. But that purpose really helps our teams kind of come to work and drive the passion that we all have for this. And so some of the other elements in that are just making sure that the teams have a growth mindset, that we're embracing failure and allowing them to experiment in meaningful ways. Not everything is always going to work, as you know. And the final piece for me is just making sure that the teams are having healthy debate. We try to structure our teams around triads. So there's product representation, tech and design representation. And we want our teams to have independent decision-making, but I also want the teams to have shared decision-making in the sense that it's not always product that's running the show. It's not always product that's making the final decision. Based on that, you know, I think we all know we come here to drive outcomes, and you know, the teams, they have to achieve positive outcomes or else we're going to shuffle them up and try a different approach. But it's kind of a long answer, but it's all about belonging to a team who has your back, making sure that team has real purpose, and you know, they're consistently achieving positive outcomes for the organization.
Finally, Al Ming, who's led multiple product teams at various companies, points out that the evidence of a great product org can be seen in how the members interact with each other, their stakeholders, and with customers. And he also shares the one revealing answer that they will never give you when you ask them why they're doing the work that they're doing.
I think one of the things that is the real irrefutable evidence of a great product org is reflected in the ways that your product teams work together and engage with stakeholders and engage with customers. That one of the things that I always tell new product managers when they come on board is that I want them to be the ones who are the champions of the why of it all. That there is a passion and intellectual curiosity that drives them, that they use to motivate their teams about wanting to know why things work, wanting to know not just what to do or how it performed, but why it works. Like that same curiosity that as a kid makes you open up a clock and break it. I want them to have that about customers, about industry, about technology, about user experience patterns. That passion almost crystallizing on the edges helps them to be driven, helps them to ask the right questions, helps them to be experimental and customer focused, because they genuinely want to know what's happening and they want to be able to be that resource to the rest of the organization. So that stakeholders and executives, they know they can come to a product organization or a product development team, and that's where they go first. That's the value that we bring to the organization, is that understanding of not just what's happening, but why it's happening, and that we have a level of thoughtfulness that goes into things. No one answers because you told me to as a reason that we are doing something. They answer because the customer is doing this, because we have this hypothesis, because we believe this to be true, and we tested it and we found out and it is true, because of the trends that are happening in the market, because of the partnerships that we have, all of these things tying together. And like that, you know, there's always that slice of product as a broker between many different places, but the strength of a product organization comes from that deep knowledge and insight and practical result of knowing what to do, why we're doing it, and bringing that to the organization.
CEOs and new product leaders often ask me to help them assess the greatness gaps on their teams. And while I can diagnose the absence of expected practices and behaviors and prescribe some corrective actions, there are intrinsic motivations and characteristics that underlie healthy, high-functioning product teams that probably can only be best diagnosed by the teams themselves. Only the members of the teams can tell you whether or not these qualities exist in their day-to-day interactions. So it's important that you encourage open and sometimes private conversations about really how healthy the team dynamics are, because without that, you cannot truly have a great product org. Some of the healthy team dynamics that are present in truly great product teams include A, that the teams deeply care about making high-quality decisions with the best available objective data. And the team cares about its members and how they balance their workload and ensure that they have the right resources and skills to accomplish their goals. They feel psychologically safe to disagree and actively encourage debate and rigor when they're making important decisions. They believe in the meaning and attainability of their success metrics. They make and keep commitments to one another. They have fun and genuinely like spending time together. And they would choose to be part of this product team again. If you're not sure about how healthy the dynamics are in your product team, I'm going to include a link to a team health check template that I found that Canva uses for their product teams. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes. If you're a product leader feeling like your product org isn't as great as it could be, I'd love to be of help. Contact me on LinkedIn or Twitter, or schedule an initial consultation with me using the Contact Me link at fearless-product.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fearless Product Leadership. If you know a new product leader who would find this podcast helpful, please share it. You can follow me, Hope Gurion, on LinkedIn and Twitter, or subscribe to the Fearless Product Leadership podcast on your favorite podcast platform to be notified of new episodes. You will find transcripts, video versions of each episode, as well as more information on my Fearless Product coaching and consulting services by visiting my website, fearless-product.com.
Fearless Product. Confidence through evidence.